Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Coffee and Devotions. This is where every day you and I, we get together. We have a little bit of coffee. We get into God's Word and we grow in our love for the Lord together. And this year, Lord willing, 2023, we'll make it from the book of Genesis to Leviticus. We're at Genesis chapter 29, right in the middle of the chapter this morning. I'm so glad to be with you. Why don't we have some coffee? We'll pray and we'll get into the Lord's Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. You woke us up this morning. You gave us a new day, another opportunity to worship you and praise you, to sit at your feet, to marvel at your goodness. Lord, we pray that as we read your word this morning, that you would work in our hearts. Teach us, Father. Father, we pray that your spirit would let us see what is written in these words, and that we would understand why they are important, and that you would apply them to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're at Genesis chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29, and we'll begin at verse 15, and we'll work our way down to verse 30. So Genesis chapter 29, beginning at verse 15, we pick up the story of Jacob trying to find a wife in Paddan Aram. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my relative, you should therefore serve me for nothing. Tell me, what should your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel. So he said, "I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to any other man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled that I may go into her." And Laban gathered together all the men of that place and made a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. And Laban gave his maid Zilpha to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Was it not Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me?" And Laban said, "It must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve me with me still another 7 years." So Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as a wife as also. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid. So Jacob went out into, Jacob went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served Laban still another 7 years. Whoa, this is like Bible soap opera time. We need to ask ourselves, A, what's this about? B, what's the best verse to summarize this? And C, what are we called to do in response to these words? What's this about? Well, the schemer gets schemed. He's been there a month and he wants to get married. And he's going to work for him. And Laban says, "What's going to be your wages?" And he says, "I'll work for you and I want to marry Rebecca." All right. So they make an agreement. They make a pact. 7 years he's going to work and he'll let him marry his daughter. And so it seems like Jacob's infatuated with Rachel. It says here in verse 20, "So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her." He has this deep love for Rachel, and he works for 7 years. They're like a day. It doesn't matter, right? He'd work 70 years for Rachel, it seems. He just wants to marry her. And then on the wedding night, something happens. Laban, gathers all his people together. The whole extended family is there. There's a huge feast. And then there's something odd here that we might not understand. Remember when Rebecca saw Isaac for the first time? What did she do? She took a veil. She covered her face. it's traditional in this part of the area of Mesopotamia that what would happen is you would have a veil over your face. And so, you know, Jacob is young, and I'm not going to say what comes with young, and I'll let you finish the phrase, but Jacob is the one who is duped here. Not sure if Laban's given him too much wine or whatnot, but he goes that night and he marries who he thinks is Rebecca, the love of his life, and he wakes up in the morning and he's done the deed to consummate the marriage, and it is not the woman that he thought he was marrying. It's Leah, the older. So he goes to Laban and he's mad, right? He's been schemed. And he says, what have you done to me, right? I worked for Rachel, not for Leah. He didn't know who he was marrying, and now he's married a woman that he didn't love as much. Didn't love, and so this is going to come into play through this entire relationship. And what we're going to find is that Laban says, well, it's just custom. You have to marry the older, and then I'll give you the younger. They marry sisters, right? Not the best. Polygamy is not right at all, and marrying sisters is probably not the best idea, even if there are stories of people who will, you know, be married to a woman and then she dies, and then as he's a widow or widower, he'll marry the sister. I'm not sure how that would work, and we're going to find out that this causes a lot of problems for Jacob. And so he gives Leah her honeymoon week, cares for her those 7 days, and then afterwards there's another wedding and he gets Rachel, but he's under contract now again for another 7 years. And so now Jacob has gone from being a bachelor to being a polygamist and also having two different servants, ladies in keeping that he has to care for as well. So he's got four women now he's in charge of. Quite the change of responsibility for Jacob. He's going to find himself in a desperate need for provision and for building up his own estate. But he's been schemed. Hey, this is a messed up story. Deceit, polygamy. There's this. Again, sometimes people will come to the Bible and they've been told a whole bunch about the Bible, but they haven't actually picked up the words themselves and read. And so they come to stories like this and they're like, man, this is messed up. Really? This is the type of story and the type of God? And this is exactly why I wanted to go through these with you. Because this isn't surprising. Sinful people do sinful stuff. That doesn't excuse their behavior. But what is God doing? God is working through, in his providence, even sinful people like Laban and Jacob to bring about his covenant promises. The Lord has promised Jacob that he was going to make him into a nation, that his descendants would be more than the dust of the earth. And he's going to even do it through hard providences. He's going to be schemed. And even in that, God is going to bless him with multiplying his descendants. Is this the way that we would want things to go? Absolutely not. But is the Lord omniscient, knowing all things and knowing how to work and even be sovereign through all this? Absolutely. Because the Lord is keeping his promises. The Lord is doing these things as he has promised. He is bringing about his covenant. He's making sure that he's going to build a people for himself, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. And he's going to bring one day one of the seeds from this line that's going to crush the head of the serpent. So this is the continuation of that story of God's covenant faithfulness, his promises going through. And now we found that Jacob has not just found Laban. We were not guaranteed yesterday that Laban would want Jacob to marry his daughter. He needed to spend a month with him. And now, after a month, he says, all right, I will, but you got to work for it. And he shows that he's committed to it and he does work for it. And the Lord is faithful. He does find a wife, but now he's got two wives. That's a problem, to say the least. We're going to find out that it causes all sorts of problems. But the Lord is bringing about his promises. It's his ends. And he uses even the fallen means of this world to bring about his glory. Well, what's the best verse to summarize this? Well, in my Bible, I have verse 20 double underlined, right? So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. And then I also have in my Bible, verse 28 underlined, where so he gave him his daughter Rachel as a wife also. Pardon me, I hate when that happens. And then lastly, I have the middle part of verse 30 underlined. And he also loved Rachel more than Leah. That's going to come up more in a little bit. Well, what are we called to do? How does this apply to your life? Well, do you trust God? Right? The Lord is doing all sorts of things in your life that, in my life, I don't understand. Things I don't like. But there are people close to me who have died. Friends who have turned their backs. Deals that have fallen through. And there's all sorts of things that happen in our lives that are painful. Hard. We get schemed. And then we might ask ourselves, God, am I really worthy of these types of, like, of your covenant, of your blessing? Could you actually work through a sinful person like me? Well, yeah, he does. And he is on his throne, and he is provident, and he is sovereign. He is controlling all these things for his own end, for his glory. And if we're in Christ, it's for our good. Even those hard things that happen to us, even those things that are sinful, or we're the victims of. The Lord is a God of justice. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So we need not take on that wrath on ourselves. But yet, we're going to keep finding out in this story time and time and time again. Jehovah is sovereign. And though people might mean things evil for us, the Lord means it for good. Trust in him. Humble yourself under his hand. And I pray that he might strengthen you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ. We say that almost after every time we read these words. No matter what part of the scriptures we're in, but it's true. We thank you for your covenant promises and your covenant faithfulness that you have worked through people to bring about your glory. Father, we pray that we would follow after you. We pray that we would hope in you. We pray that we would have a hope and a faith that would be unmovable, and that we might abound in our love in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, may that great shepherd of the sheep care for you. May he be with you, both in the valley of the shadow of death, when you are suffering pains and heartaches in your life. And may you rejoice always. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon RP Church in rural Southeast Iowa. We pray that the message would be used by God to transform your faith and your life this week. If you'd like to get more information about us, feel free to go to the website, SharonRPC.org. We'd love to invite you to worship with us. Our worship time is 10 a.m. every Sunday at 25204 160th Avenue, Morning Sun, Iowa, 52640. May God richly bless you this week.